James Siberry live in Studio C. Very nice. I'd like to just close my eyes. And you just have such wonderful images. I've noticed this from your earlier songs. And in fact, I hope you don't mind, I want to bring up a favorite song that you do. The Life is the Red Wagon. The idea, you know, just that whole analogy, and you pull for me, I pull for you. I just think that's one of the... just an incredible song about friendship and strength, and I don't know if you can talk anything about that, not to jump all over the place, but...
Well, no, sometimes I write things that I wish people would say to me. So, in that song, I'm saying, you know, if you don't like it, you can always walk away. And I sort of think often that I have to take it. If I don't like it, I have to put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in some ways a song to myself, and I suppose to other people who need to hear those words of strengthening, you know, and that's how we learn it from each other, and that's how we strengthen, and that's why we attract certain friends, because we need that strength that we'll get from them in particular, and it's really like a very moving sometimes when I think about the whole thing and the way people give and receive and try so hard and fumble and laugh and cry and I suppose that's why sometimes it sort of hurts my feelings a bit when I'm described as ethereal or that somehow I'm for people in the know as opposed to the everyday. You know, I want to be in the mainstream. It's important for me to be talking to the everyday person. I feel like the things that move me about people are the most everyday things about people, and that perhaps I articulate things that just aren't articulated about everyday things, you know, and so, I pull for you, you pull for me, and, but when your feet are dragging, I pull for you, when my feet are dragging, you pull for me, and I actually did a little film of a junior school choir singing that song. It's really amazing.
Oh, wow.
It's so cute to see.
I bet.
Yeah, it's very funny.
No, I wanted to mention that because that is a song that I've played for other people too, and said, boy, talk about an ultimate, strengthening song among friends. That certainly would be an example. You mentioned how you don't like to be called, what'd you say?
Ethereal.
What are some other strange descriptions people have had of you? I mean, I'm just curious.
Quirky. No, I don't like quirky particularly either.
Mm-hmm.
Eccentric people. Eccentric is a compliment because that really means you're just being yourself. You have a few less masks. And I believe everyone's eccentric because everyone is themselves. It's just whether you feel the confidence to trust that, and you know.
Well, you have your own unique style, and I think that's one of the most ultimate compliments that can be paid you. I mean, I wouldn't. Too often, I think we get caught up. We compare our artists to other artists, and that's where we make mistakes. I mean, I have tried to describe your sound for friends, and I can't do it. It's best to play the music. It's,
yeah. That's the best way, but, you know, the comparison is how we teach, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I use comparisons. Any writer does. That's the way you communicate information at the reference point. There's nothing wrong with comparison. It's just when they're trite, you know, and stupid, you know, like, you know, when you say someone is like another person just because they both have high cheekbones. You know, the old female, you know, that thing, but...
Who were you listening to when you grew up? What artists were favorites of yours?
Well, you know, it was pretty haphazard. It really depended what record my mom brought home from the bridge party. I mean, and then I would become totally engrossed in that, and then it depended who you went out with. So I went from Andy Williams, and then my mom cleaned house to Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. It got her going.
The Sitting Bull or the Lone Bull, whatever that one song was.
Whipped Cream, Another Delight.
There you go, that album.
It's good for vacuuming.
I'll try that. Let's get a CD of that.
Yeah, and then the Women Folk of San Francisco. Do you know them?
No.
No. Well, I knew all the words. I was going to join them when I grew up. And then the Nestle's Quick Record with a song about Bambi in the forest that have many friendly creatures. There are owls and foxes and squirrels. Anyway, it was very eclectic, and then I went out with someone who was into Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and then it just really depends who you go.
Lucky man.
Do I sound self-directed? No.
No. Well, we really appreciate you stopping by. We've long wanted you to visit Studio C.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a funny world. I know the commercial radio world has, There's lots of great music out there, and there's just a handful of really avant-garde, adventurous, self-directed stations like yourself. So when I get a chance to come to these stations and say thanks for myself and other people who are doing the same thing, it's always it's sort of a mutual connection. So.
Well, thank you.
Did you hear? I said thanks. That's what I was trying to say.
I got that. And thank you. And will there be a Map of the World Part 4?
Maybe.
Maybe?
No plans.
Not on this new album, however. Mm. Well, thanks again so much. And in fact, why don't we close with an album, with a song from your new one, When I Was a Boy. And this is Sail Across the Water. You have a lot of references to sailing and water, don't you? I've noticed that in your music.
Yeah. And did you ever read the first few pages of Moby Dick? They're all about water. Call me Ishmael. And he talks about any man, woman, child, if they're near water, they'll drift to the edge of the land, to the water, and then just sit there and look at it as if it holds the secret to the universe. And it's a beautiful three pages. Water. Water.
I'll have to reread that. It's been years and years. Melville?
Yeah.
Herman Melville. All right. Well, let's end with Sail Across the Water. Jane Sibbery on KBCO.